Let's read a couple of verses here, and then I'll pray and ask God to lead us through this time as we look at this ministry of Barnabas. Acts chapter 4, in verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who was by the apostles surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, don't let your mind run too much yet. We haven't, you're like, okay, Pastor, it's a ministry anybody can have. Lay money at the apostles' feet. Amen. That's not where we're going, okay? But I hope that God will touch your heart with the ministry of Barnabas and that we will, as God's people, pick it up tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight. We ask you, God, that you would give me clarity of thought and liberty to preach. I ask you to be with your people. Lord, that you would take the word of God and apply it in ways that I cannot. That you would bring alive the pages of Scripture, the thoughts that are taught here, the message that is for us tonight. That you would give me boldness to preach it, that you would give us ears to hear it. And Lord, that this would be a starting point in our church, a point where we have a number of people that before you say, I want to be a Barnabas. I want to have that ministry, and I want to be used of God in that way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Barnabas. This was not the name given to him by his mom and dad. You see in the text we read there, Joseph, or Joseph, was what his mom and dad called him. Although those who knew him gave him the name Barnabas. Those who had come to know his character, those who had seen what he was like, those who had watched his life said, hey, we're going to call this man Barnabas, which being interpreted is the son of consolation. This is what he was known for. They didn't call him this because he was a good-looking guy. Although, if you know your Bible, you know he was good-looking. In Lystra, they called him Jupiter. And they actually wanted to worship him. I mean, that's a pretty good-looking guy if people want to worship him, you know. You talk about being head and shoulders above everybody else or whatever. I mean, here was a man whose stature quite possibly was very admirable. But this is not why they called him Barnabas. They called him Barnabas, which being interpreted as the son of consolation. This word consolation comes from that same word which we get comforter. Our comforter that is sent to us, the Holy Spirit, Parakletos, the comforter, alongside the same word given to us in John 14:16, talking about the comforter that would come. They said Barnabas is a comforter. Barnabas is an encourager. Everywhere Barnabas went, he had a unique ability, a gift to just be an encourager, just to encourage people in their faith, just to encourage people for being at church, just to encourage people for reading a Bible. Just everywhere he went, he encouraged people. Have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever been around people that just, it was their nature? You just like being around them because they just encourage you. You know, sometimes those people need encouraging. But anybody can have this ministry. He encouraged everywhere he went. This was such a character trait of his that he became known as the encourager, as the comforter. I'll tell you what, if you're discouraged or you're downhearted, just get around Barnabas because he'll encourage you in the Lord. You know, the devil wants everybody to be discouraged tonight. It is the devil's plan, and it sure seems as today, in today's world, he's winning on every hand with regards to this idea of discouraging God's people, getting them to the place where they're actually downright depressed, just completely discouraged about what's going on in their life and about where they're at and what God has done or what God hasn't done and all of the trials of it. They're so discouraged over it all. Boy, the devil's won. I want you to know that God's not in that. God doesn't want you to live discouraged, down, defeated lives. He wants us to be encouraged. And God used Barnabas to encourage the saints of the New Testament church. God is known to us as the God of all comfort. Again, that same word, Parakletos, the encourager. God wants you to be encouraged. He's there alongside you. He's with you. He's doing what he can to lift you. But sometimes we listen to the devil whispering in our ear, and we allow our hearts and minds to be discouraged. We need some men and some women, some boys and some girls to take up the ministry of Barnabas tonight and be some encouragers. To encourage the brothers and sisters in the Lord. I want to give you three areas tonight where Barnabas was an encourager and how we can be an encourager to God's people and to those we come into contact with. First of all, I want you to see that he was an encourager. He encouraged the brethren by meeting a need. In this chapter, with verses we've just read, Barnabas, Joseph, who was surnamed Barnabas, he saw a need. The church at Jerusalem was seeing miraculous growth. You know, if we go back just a couple of chapters, we read about the miraculous growth that was taking place and how 3,000 were saved and added to the church. And then we read here in the next chapter about how another 5,000 were added to the church. And then it gets to the place where it's not even numbered. It's just multitudes are added to the church. At the same time of all these people maybe coming into town and these people coming from long distances to travel and be part of this church and their lives being changed and transformed by God, at the same time, you have persecution taking place. You remember Saul, the persecutor? He was persecuting the church. He was doing what he could to destroy the church of God. He was attacking them. There was persecution, and quite possibly a lot of the problems that people had was because of the persecution. Maybe they lost their job because they became a Christian. They believed on Jesus Christ and wanted to follow Christ. And one of the punishments that was used regularly was a monetary punishment. They would say, okay, well, you can't work. You can't work here if you're going to do that. They might have lost their job. You know, sometimes people are kicked out of their home when they make a decision for Jesus Christ. And they say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And Mom and Dad say, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, then you can't live in this house. The church of Jerusalem was seeing amazing blessings from God, but at the same time, there was tremendous persecution, and there was a need that arose. There was a need. He saw the need. And so he said, you know what? I've got some land. I got some land, and I could sell it. And he went and he sold his land. Now, his land, if you read that, his land was in Cyprus. Cyprus was a very wealthy, believed to be at that time, the third wealthiest city in the world. Next to, I believe, Rome and Alexandria. Cyprus was the Canaan land of the Greeks. It was the land where money flowed. If you owned land in Cyprus, you were wealthy and influential. Now, he was also a Levite, the Bible tells us. I don't have time to teach on this tonight, but you know Levites weren't supposed to own land. So maybe he got right with God and said, oh, I got some land I need to sell. They weren't supposed to have land, but maybe he inherited it, but he was whichever way you want to say it, a Greek by birth, or where he was born, his location in Cyprus. But he was Jew because he was a Levite. His heritage, where he came from. He had this land, and he says, boy, I could sell this land. And he took the money and he sold it and laid the money at the apostles' feet. This was an encouragement to the church, so much so that they gave him a new name. They gave him a new name and called him Barnabas. You know, there's just something about meeting a need that encourages the brethren. It doesn't even have to be your... I mean, certainly, if Marley has a need and we meet it, Marley's going to be encouraged. Amen, right? He's like, amen. You know what? Whoever has the need, they're going to be encouraged. But you know what? It does something for the house of God. It does something for all of us when a need has been met. Everybody in the church is encouraged. Everybody in the church is excited about that need having been met. And sometimes it's a need that the church needs as a whole. And we've seen that over the time, over the years that we've been together here where God has provided or met a need. And it sometimes the excitement is almost palpable. I mean, you can almost feel the electricity in the air. People so thrilled about what God is doing and how he miraculously met this need. And we're just encouraged about it. And boy, it's encouraging when a need has been met. When a burden has been lifted. You know, you don't have to have land to meet a need. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't have any land to sell. I know, but do you have love that you can give? They say, oh, Pastor, I don't have any cash. But do you have some compassion that you can give? You see, the application is not that you go sell your land and lay it at the apostles' feet. The application is that there was a need that he saw. Whatever that need is, he saw the need and he said, I can meet it. And he wanted to encourage the brethren by meeting that need. And you know what? Maybe that need would be spending an afternoon with one of the single moms in our church and just watching their kids for a little while, letting them go shopping without kids hanging on their tails all day. Maybe it's you meeting that need is just going over and sitting down with Brother Nash for an hour or so and being encouragement to him, lifting his burden. Maybe just going and taking some playing cards or something and sitting down with Brother Nazarenko and playing a game with him for a little bit. I mean, that you look around and you see a need and you say, hey, I can meet that need. I can lift that burden. I can do that. Whatever it is, doesn't have to be monetary. Do you have love you can give? Do you have compassion you can give? Do you have a heart that wants to meet the need? Amen. I hope so. That's what Barnabas said. He said, he looked around and he said, hey, here's a burden. I'm going to lift it. Could be just preparing a meal for somebody, dropping it off. Could be somebody sick. You don't have to even prepare a meal. You could go pick up some chicken noodle soup, some Sprite, and some crackers and stick it in a bag and go hang it on their door. Just want to be an encouragement to you. It's just seeing a need and say, hey, how could I lift that need? How could I be an encouragement? He encouraged the brethren there by meeting a need. There's got to be someone in the house of God here that you could in some way lift their load, that you could meet their need. He encouraged by meeting the need. Don't you see, secondly, that he encouraged by seeing the potential, by seeing the potential. Turn to Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, in verse number 26, he says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assessed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You see, Saul was a persecutor of the church. Saul was an outsider, and he said, hey, guys, I'm a Christian now. And they said, yeah, right. No, really, guys, really, I am. And they're like, I don't think so. No, see, I mean, I was preaching like you preach. I mean, I believe in Jesus. And they're like, sorry. And they kept avoiding him. They kept their distance because the last people he got close to ended up in prison. They ended up dead. They said, no, we don't want, nope, sorry, Saul. We know what you were. But the thing is Saul was on his way to Damascus to dismantle another group of God's people. And he met Jesus. He met Jesus. And God changed his life. The rest of the church could only see what Saul used to be. They couldn't see the potential of what he could be in Jesus Christ. They saw all of what he used to do, and they couldn't let that go in their mind's eye, and they could not see the potential of what he could do in and through the power of Christ. He was all alone in the church. No one would believe him. He was an outsider. But Barnabas saw what he could be. Are you seeing the picture? There's people that come to Hunt Valley Baptist Church and they want to be a part. They come and they're outsiders. You know, every church has a culture. Every church has its own culture. And they're not necessarily versed on this culture. And they come in and they're like, hey, I want to be one of you guys. I want to be here. I want to follow Christ. And we're like, well, we're not sure about that. We'll see. They're like, no, really, I do. Okay. What I'm saying is they're trying to fit in. They're trying to be a part. They want to join up, but sometimes they just don't know what to do. They don't know how to get in. They don't know how to be a part. They need somebody. The Bible says Barnabas went and took Saul by the hand, said, hey, come on, I'll introduce you to some people. Come on, I'll tell some people about you. Hey, did you meet my friend Bill? I don't know where you met Bill from, but you brought Bill to church this morning. Did you meet Bill? Yeah, I met him here. We did this together or whatever. Hey, did you get to meet Bill? Hey, did you get to meet Bill? Hey, Bill, we have Sunday school. Right after Sunday school, we have church. Why don't you come over? We'll sit over here in church. This is what we do. This is how this works. Just explaining to them so that they know how to be a part. So that they can feel welcome and comfortable. Barnabas saw what he could be, not what he was. By the way, anybody can change when they find Jesus Christ. Anybody can change when they find Jesus Christ. One Bible scholar that I read after about this particular passage of Scripture said this: Barnabas indeed was one of the most attractive characters in the New Testament. He possessed the rare gift of being able to discern merit in others. He seems to be able to do this without any jealousy, eager to excuse the faults of others and quickly to recognize their strengths. The Paul of history. Whilst we admit the greatness of Paul, we cannot forget about that Barnabas that brought him in. The Barnabas who went out, saw the potential that was there. You know, we need to embrace new believers. We need to embrace visitors at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. We need to embrace the young people that come in. These kids that come in on the bus routes. These kids that are dropped off from their moms and dads. We need to embrace the youth of our church. You know, it's just a short time. They're going to be out somewhere. And the fact is, like Marley, do you see the potential in Marley? If there's not a group of people that are seeing the potential in Marley and they're grabbing him by the hand and saying, hey, look, this is what you can do. Hey, look, this is what is possible. Marley, you can do it. Boy, man, Marley, it's good to see you in church today. Marley, we're excited about what God's doing in your heart. If there's not a group of people that see the potential, it'll be just 2 or 3 years from now and we'll be talking about how Marley used to come to church. But now Marley's out in the world serving himself. And devil's got a hold of his heart. And all the time and effort and years of teaching that we as a church have put into him is put by the wayside. Churches experienced that over and over and over and over again. This last week we had Peter and Shamar over to our house and we took them on an activity with our family for a few hours. Now you know Peter, he's a jokester. I wish he was here tonight. I won't say anything bad about him because he's not here. But he likes to joke. And I don't have a lot of patience for tomfoolery. I mean, I just, I mean, if you want to say something worthwhile, I'll listen. But if you, you know, it's just hard for me. But he needs somebody that sees the potential. Not just sees youth Peter, who everything is a joke and it's all fun. What could God do with him if he got a hold of his heart and he yielded? In a few years, he could be like this brother right here on his way to a mission field somewhere. He could be raising support, saying, I've surrendered and, you know, I was going to do this, but now I'm going to do this. Why? Because there was a church who believed in me, who saw some potential, and they invested in me, and they took time, and they trained me and showed me what I could do. Your faith and effort and work will be rewarded, just like it was with Paul. Paul continued to amaze the disciples over and over again, amazing ministry that God gave him. Turn to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. I want you to see, we're going to kind of, I'm going to skip through a point here where we see that he followed, Barnabas followed the Lord. But Acts chapter 11, so you can get the context. Let's start reading in verse number 19. He says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Okay, so do you get the story so far? They were traveling. They were doing some preaching. Some people got saved. Those people went out and began to witness and see a lot more other people saved. And at Antioch, there began to be a great move of God. And it was so great that news of what God was doing to Antioch got back to Jerusalem. And at the church of Jerusalem, they said, man, we need to send somebody up to check out what's going on at Antioch. We need you to go up there. And they chose Barnabas to go do this. Now, isn't it quite amazing that they chose Barnabas, who was a Jew, but who also used to have land in Cyprus, who had position and was influential? What I want you to see is that God will uniquely prepare you for the position that he wants you to fulfill, for the job that he wants you to do. Just like Brother Jed was saying this morning, he was going to go to any other field but Brazil. And then all of a sudden he realized, why would I go to any other field but Brazil? I mean, Brazil is what God prepared me for. I know the culture, I know the language, I know the people, I know my way around. Why would I go to any other field? This is what God has uniquely prepared me for. And God had uniquely prepared Barnabas to go on this little trip. And we see here in verse number 23, he says, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all. Again, you see him encouraging them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He's like, man, look at what God's doing. You guys keep it up. Cleave unto God. In verse number 24, we see the character of him described here. He says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. But now look at verse number 25. He says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. You see, Barnabas looked at these people at Antioch and all of what was going on at Antioch. He saw all these Christians coming to the Lord and all these people being saved. And Barnabas, I mean, he's a good Bible teacher. He's a good Bible scholar. He knows a lot about the Lord. He's a good encourager. But he looked at all those people coming to the Lord and he says, man, I need some help. I need some help here. We need to find somebody to come and to help me teach these people. I need somebody that could really do a good job at this. And so who did he look for? He looked for Paul. He says, man, Paul was uniquely gifted at teaching. Paul was really good. So he says here, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Do you see the progression of the story, what happened there? Barnabas said, hey, I need some help. I need somebody with a little bit more skill than I have. I need somebody uniquely gifted to help teach and to train these people. I need somebody. Let's get Saul. He brought Saul there, who was so well prepared by God for this particular ministry, that after 1 year of him teaching the Word of God, the lives of the people there were transformed so much that they became known as Christians. Now, we use that term very flippantly today, but this was the first time it had ever been used. It was used to describe these people whose lives had been changed. To me, that's exciting. And what's amazing is that Barnabas did not have any jealousy in his mind or in his heart about this man who was more prepared or more capable or more able than he was. Most people would say, well, I need some help, but I don't want Paul. He's way too smart. He's going to make me look dumb. That's my problem with Pastor Derek, see? He makes me look dumb. Hey, I don't need somebody who's gifted like this. I don't need somebody. I want somebody that, you know, makes me look good. But that wasn't Barnabas' thought. He says, I want somebody that's going to do the best job for these people. Barnabas didn't worry about getting the credit. He goes after Paul and brings him there to teach these people, and they became known as Christians at Antioch. He took time and energy and effort with them. Barnabas saw the potential in the man that became known as Paul. He went and said, hey, Paul, you could do this. You could teach these people. Paul, you probably could do it better than me. But why don't you come and why don't you help me get this done? He encouraged them, and Paul did it. Alexander White said, to have the heart to discover more talented men than yourself, and then to have the heart to go all the way to Tarshish and bring him back to Antioch is far better than to have all of Saul's talents yourself. Speaking for myself, this commentator said, I would rather have a little bit of Barnabas's grace than to have all of Paul's genius. The grace of God, to realize it's not about me, it's not about who gets lifted up. It's about fulfilling the call and the will of God and being an encourager to encourage others. Everywhere he went, he lifted those around him. Spurgeon said about this passage, it takes more grace than I can tell to play second fiddle well. To have a little bit of that grace that Barnabas had. He encouraged those around him to do great and greater things. Lastly, I want you to see that he encouraged the church by forgiving after failure. By forgiving after failure. Look in Acts chapter number 15. In Acts chapter number 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city wherein we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Philadelphia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Cyrene and Cilicia and confirming the churches. You see, Barnabas saw John Mark. And we don't really know what it was that caused John Mark to leave the first missionary journey. John Mark was with them, and maybe he just got homesick. Maybe he got physically sick. Maybe he was injured in something. We don't know what it was, but whatever it was, Paul said, that guy left us hanging. We were in the middle of that missionary trip and he left and went home. So I'm done with him. Forget it. And Barnabas said, no, let's take John Mark. I mean, he's a good guy. And let's give him a second chance. And Paul said, no, I ain't going to give him a second chance. I mean, I was counting on him and he left me in the lurch, man. Forget it. And Barnabas said, no, come on, we've got to do this. And the contention between these two godly men was such that they had to part ways for a little while. But Barnabas said, you know what, I'm going to go get John Mark. And I don't know where he found John Mark, but I could imagine he went and he probably found John Mark in his home. He's probably playing video games. I don't know what John Mark was doing, but I imagine John Mark was probably pretty discouraged. Man, I messed up. I let Paul down. I failed. I'll probably never be able to do anything for God. I don't know why I did that. John Mark was probably so discouraged and upset about what he had done. And then Barnabas came along and said, hey, John Mark, we're getting ready to go on a missionary journey. You want to go? John Mark probably said, no, you don't want me to go because, you know, I messed up last time and I didn't do very good. I mean, I got homesick and I went home. No, you'll do good. Let's go. And Barnabas encouraged John Mark to go. What I'm saying is that Barnabas was able to forgive after failure. He was able to let it go. Paul held on to it, but Barnabas forgave. And used him again, looked to him again. Now this man, John Mark, is the same one that wrote the book of Mark for us. This man, who at one point had failed, is the same one who the Apostle Paul himself, when he was in prison, said, out of all the people in the world, all the people he could have called and asked for, he's alone in prison and he needs some company. He asked for John Mark. Would you send me John Mark? Because he is profitable for me in the ministry. Why? Because Barnabas, back over here, when John Mark had failed, Barnabas believed that he could still succeed after failure. And he went to him and he encouraged him and he lifted him up and he said, come on, you can do it. Yes, you can. I know you messed up, but listen, God's forgiven you. The church has forgiven you and we're ready to go on. Listen, our church pews are full of a lot of people who failed in the past. There's a lot of people who the old devil sits on their shoulder and says, you can't do anything for God because of this or because of that. Down the pew from you, there may be a Jonah who at one time was running from God. Or down across the aisle from you might be a Peter who not once, twice, but three times denied his very Savior, Jesus Christ. There may be a John Mark who gave up and quit and went home at some point. But God can forgive them, and it's high time God's church, his people, forgive as well. Amen. We need to forgive after failure. The church is full of failures. Forgiven failures. That God wants to take and use for his honor and glory. If we had some Barnabases that would believe in our brothers and sisters and go grab them by the arm and say, you can do this. God wants to use you to do this. It's never too late to know that somebody believes in you. It's never too late to kick old Slewfoot off of your shoulder and let him stop discouraging you and say, you know what, I can be used of God. I can do something for God. And church, those that are discouraged need a Barnabas to come alongside and say, let me encourage you. Let me be a help to you. Let me lift your burden. Let me carry you a little while. I just want to help you. There's many who feel like a failure, but if they just had a Barnabas who would come up, take them by their hand and believe in them, God could do great things through them. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.